stand as our boys and girls leave, can I ask you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36, the passage which Mary read for us just a couple of moments ago. Oh, isn't it lovely to see children being dragged kicking and screaming out of church, rather than the other way around? But will it fit the princess? I don't know. We'll see. Ezekiel chapter 36. If you can keep it open, we'll just be looking at a couple of verses from this chapter. Last week we looked at being taught by God's grace. God's grace that takes the initiative and teaches us, instructs us, disciplines us, encourages us, rebukes us. This grace of God which teaches us. And this morning what I want us to think about is very briefly the work of the Holy Spirit in helping us grow. The Holy Spirit is either working in us or is enabling us to work. And He causes all spiritual growth. None of us will grow without the Holy Spirit at work in us. Some of that work He does directly. Some of that work He enables us to do in our own lives. But the Holy Spirit is at work, enabling us to grow, develop, mature as Christians. And without the Holy Spirit, we can make no real progress in our spiritual lives. And it's with that in mind that I want us to look at these couple of verses 26 and 27 of Ezekiel chapter 36. And it simply says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The background to this passage is that God's people have been scattered because of their own disobedience, because of their own rebellion against God. They have been scattered. And now God is saying to them, I'm going to replant you. I'm going to rebuild you. I'm going to restore you, revive you. I'm going to bring you back. So the background to this passage is God's promise to rebuild and restore and revive and renew His people. And it's interesting, God doesn't send them off and tell them, I want you to go and sort your lives out. I want you to go and learn what it is to be obedient. I want you to go and just get yourselves in order. God doesn't actually do that. God actually takes the initiative yet again. So as we read these couple of verses 26 and 27, notice how many times God takes the initiative. God does it. I will give a new heart. It's not go away and see if you can develop a new heart within yourself. Go and read all the latest do-it-yourself, help-yourself books. I will put a new heart in you. I will give you a new heart. He doesn't say go and remove that hard-heartedness. He says, I will remove your heart of stone. I will put my spirit in you. I will move you to follow my decrees and keep my laws. God is at work in us. And again, it comes back to this. We're never going to grow spiritually on our own, in our own abilities, in our own skills, in our own strengths. We're never going to manage it. God is at work. All the way through these verses, it's what God will do. I will give you a new heart. I will take that heart of stone out of you. I will put my spirit in you. I will move you to be obedient. God is at work. God's at work. And revival starts when God does this work in our lives. Often within church circles, we talk about revival, quite rightly so. We long for it. And there are things we can do. But the bottom line is this. Unless God is doing that work of reviving and renewing and restoring and replanting and rebuilding, nothing will happen. Nothing of any value. God is the one who's at work. The heart specialist. And so God says, I will take from you this heart of stone, this hard-heartedness. And if you can imagine just a heart that everything bounces off. When Heather and I were over just a couple of weeks ago in the Isle of Skye, we went out in one of those wonderful Scottish days when the mist was down and it was wet, but it was still beautiful. And so on went the waterproof gear, and we met a Swiss lady who was dressed in the same way, and she said, it must have been a Scotsman that invented Gore-Tex because the rain just bounced off it. Sometimes our hearts are impervious, and that God's love just bounces off. No matter what God does around us or in us or for us, it just bounces off because our hearts are hard, impervious, eyes closed. And so God says, I'm the heart specialist. I'm going to take away that hard heart, that impervious, that impenetrable heart that you have, and give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is soft, a heart that is open to God, a heart that is pliable, teachable before God. This is what I'm going to do. When we come to a saving faith in Jesus, Jesus lives in us by his Holy Spirit. If you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus is living in you here and now by his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is in you. That's a remarkable thing. Jesus lives in you. And because Jesus lives in you, you have been changed, not just slightly, but you have been transformed. It's not just slightly tinkering around the edges of your life. It is changing you completely, transforming you. Paul, when he writes to the church in Corinth, says this transformation is so complete that you are a new creation. It's not just a slight change, it's a whole new creation. Jesus, when he's speaking to Nicodemus, says, Nicodemus, this transformation that you need to undergo is so complete that it's being born again, Nicodemus. A new creation. New birth. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit living in us. It's entirely a work of God's grace. God's Spirit living in us. Transforming us. That's what happens when we open our lives to God. That's what happens when we recognize our need for the Savior, when we realize and acknowledge that we are sinful people, and the only way to deal with that is to ask Jesus to forgive us and invite him into our lives. And we are transformed. But it doesn't finish back there. And this has often been one of the weaknesses in our own lives and in the life of churches across the world, that somehow the work of God's grace finished back then. I asked Jesus into my life, and God by his grace did that. And we draw a line. It doesn't finish there. The Holy Spirit works in us still. Same Holy Spirit living in us, changing us, freeing us continually from sin, changing us to be more and more like Jesus. The big word for this is sanctification. We become sanctified. We become more and more like Jesus. And it's also the work of the Holy Spirit. Just as much as bringing us to that saving faith, changing us into this new creation, bringing us to that place where we are born again, God works in us by his Holy Spirit. But it involves our obedience. Remember, sometimes the Holy Spirit does jobs in us that we cannot do. Other times, he works with us to achieve these things. So it involves our obedience, and God moves us to follow his decrees, moves us to keep his law. But we have to do it. We have to do it. But it involves our obedience. It involves our commitment. It involves our dedication. And our goal, well, again, Paul, when he writes to the church in Rome, simply says that God has predestined all believers to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Our goal is to become like Jesus. And we've said it before so many times. Can you imagine the difference the church would make in this little province, in this land, if everyone who professes the name of Jesus, if everyone who comes inside the door of a church today goes out being a little bit more like Jesus? The impact of that on our nation would be amazing. That's the goal of spiritual growth. To be like Jesus, and through our lives to give God the glory. Sometimes we're aware that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. It's a bit like somebody nudging you. You don't have to say it, just that nudge. And the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge when you think, you know, I haven't spoken to so-and-so for a long time. I must call with them. Lift the phone, send me a wee text. And the amazing thing is, it's just the right time. Just the right time. And many times has it happened to you that you've done that and someone has said, I just needed to talk to someone. I'm glad you rang. I'm glad you called. That nudge of the Holy Spirit. And we can either decide to respond to it or just ignore it. Maybe it's that nudge of the Holy Spirit that's saying, you know the attitude you have? You know that behavior that you accept in your own life? It's about time you turned from it, you repented from it. You can either be obedient to that nudge of the Holy Spirit or you can ignore it. Or that nudge that says, there's someone you need to go and talk to. There's someone you need to go and ask for forgiveness. You can ignore it. You can be obedient to that nudge and grow. We need to make a conscious response to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. But the amazing thing is sometimes it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. We get that nudge that says, speak to so-and-so, and you think, what do I want to speak to them for? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And yet when we do speak to them, it makes all the sense in the world. Sometimes we try to limit the work of the Holy Spirit by our own understanding, by our own experience. Don't really understand how that works, Lord. I'm not gonna be obedient to that. Hasn't worked out in the past, Lord, when I've gone and spoken to people about something. My understanding, my experience limits the work of the Holy Spirit. There are times when we can't explain or understand what the Holy Spirit is doing, but we know he's at work. We know he's at work. Do you respond to those nudges? Or you just move a comfortable distance away, so no matter how hard the Holy Spirit nudges, you're just slightly out of reach. Slightly beyond being bothered. The Holy Spirit uses lots of things to help us grow. Maybe life's difficult. Life's hard. What's God doing? and the Holy Spirit would work in your life in that struggle. Teaching you things, teaching me things that we will never learn in any other way, so that we may grow in Christ. Maybe it's through the encouragement that we have with each other. And the Holy Spirit works just through that word that someone says to you. And you're built up and encouraged. Maybe it's as we read our Bibles, not only do we learn what God says, but we begin to apply it to our lives and we grow because the Holy Spirit's at work in us. Maybe it's as we pray, the Holy Spirit leads us and shows us what we should and who we should pray for and how we should pray. Maybe it's as we serve. Maybe it's as we worship. In all these different ways, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And the goal, as always, is to make you and me more and more like Jesus. Because here's the bottom line. No matter how hard we try, really we are not going to make a huge impact on this world in ourselves. And we look around us, we look at the chaos of this world, we look at the madness of this world, and at times we just throw up our hands and say, well, what can I do? Quite rightly. But what can we do when we are more and more like Jesus? We can do all things through him who gives us strength as the Holy Spirit works in us. We will make a change. Apparently, if you take photographs of faces of family members and you impose them on top of each other, you begin to see the family characteristics. So maybe it's the ears, the nose, the eye, whatever it is, you begin to see the family characteristics stand out. As you and I become more and more like Jesus, as God's Holy Spirit works in us, transforming us, changing us to be more and more like Jesus, people looking on don't see all the things that make us different. They begin to see the family resemblance. They begin to see the likeness of Jesus in us. And that's when we make an impact in this world. That's when we make a difference. So my question to myself and to each of us this morning is simply, have you got a heart of stone or a heart of flesh? Has God done that work of removing that heart of stone, that hard, closed, shriveled, impervious heart, and replaced it with this heart of flesh that beats for him? May God give us the grace to be open to the work of his Holy Spirit here and now. And then just like these folks in this chapter, may we be replanted and rebuilt and restored and renewed and revived for the glory of God. Let's pray together, and then the band are going to come and lead us. Father in heaven, you are the heart specialist. Lord, you know our hearts. We know something of our hearts. And they're not what they should be. They're not what they could be. So work in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Change us, not so that people will look at us and think, how wonderful we are. But so that people will look at us and know how wonderful Jesus is.